times when everything is turned upside down in our life and torn apart. Times when we don't really know who we are or where we are. And this is where the disciples found themselves after that first Easter, as today's gospel shows us. They ricocheted between the worst and the most wonderful days of their lives. They were still in shock. These days we might talk of PTSD. Even as they met and walked and talked, hoping to make sense of it all, their nerves jangled. At such times, we turn to what we trust, friends, family, faith community, and the faith which underpins all of it. Except that it can feel as if nothing is solid or reliable anymore. That's why Jesus' disciples needed to know what they could trust, what was solid, what was real in every way. They recognised him through their senses, heard him, saw and felt the injuries that he had suffered. Those hands and feet couldn't have belonged to anyone else. It really was Jesus. And apparitions don't ask for fish and eat it in front of you. It's not exactly glamorous, so it's not the sort of thing you'd invent. Once they had truly recognised Jesus, he reminded them of all that he'd taught them. They were not to be distracted from their calling or overwhelmed despite the shock and the trauma of the past days. In the light of his resurrection and his physical presence, they could appreciate everything afresh and on a much deeper, more profound level. And at this time of year, we are all called to do that anew. When everything is going along in a routine sort of way, tootling along, we may say, we have little reason to change our views or thinking very much. Things might not be perfect or exciting, but they're predictable and good enough, and we take them for granted. However, when things are turned upside down, we are all but forced to grapple with what's happening and with ourselves. We do that so that we can live a faith that's authentic and growing and vibrant and isn't disabled by sorrows or regrets from the past. This, of course, is where it gets more difficult. With time, with hindsight, even a bit of wisdom, we understand more about the consequences of our actions, things that we could have done differently. Except we are different people now. Both today's readings stress repentance and forgiveness. We need to seek repentance, to forgive, and to be forgiven. Or we will hang on to stuff and we will be disabled by our baggage. We avoid thinking about repentance, about becoming more deeply aware of our sins and sorry for them. It feels sticky and as if it will suck us into a sort of self-absorbed misery. The small guilty child of primary school age is still alive and well in each one of us, I would suggest. Then, of course, we have to admit what we've done, confess it, if you like, accept that punishment is due, but also that we can't pay it. Through Jesus, we trust in forgiveness, which we can't and don't deserve. And we know that what we've done has altered the future for us and for other people. Jesus and Peter both show us that the healing starts in all of this just through walking and talking together. They are alongside people, alongside us, as we try to make sense of what happens in our lives. How have we been changed? Does the life that has developed in and around us fit us like it did? If it doesn't, what is it, inside or out, that we need to adapt to, or to let go, or to change? And how will we know? Of course, these are all very big questions. Of any life event, any life-changing event, we say, it changed everything. Nothing was ever the same again. Afterwards, there is a space, a period during which change at a deep level within us is more possible. People have called these weeks, months, whatever, a hinge in time. It is, or it can be, a time of transformation, not just of tweaks or tinkering. And these days, after Jesus' resurrection, I would suggest the start of such a time for Peter and for the disciples. How are we to live in such a time? Jesus shows them. They are to trust what's happening to them, to recognise and know him when he is with them, but not to try to hang on to him. They are to talk, to listen, to look after each other. Think of that walking and talking on the Emmaus Road, and then the return to Jerusalem afterwards. They are to pray together and continue to learn how to live out the values which they had shared in every new circumstance. And that, of course, is what we are to do. To trust God, to talk things through appropriately, to resource each other, sharing prayer and love and encouragement. We might say that's the same old thing, the same old, same old. And in a sense, that's right. But the aftermath of Easter can so often be a potent hinge in time. It's particularly important, therefore, to ask, what does that look like here and now? In the light of events in our own lives and events in the world. And to pray, Lord, may I recognise, may each of us recognise, companions on the way, so that we may help each other to see the path, to get to know it, to walk in it, and to be faithful to it. Amen.